All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. What's up?
What's up?
You asked me a minute ago if I was ready.
You didn't respond. I was like, I guess
don't think
he's
that's
ready.
The question. The what? Question is, are you ready?
Oh, my word.
Buddy boy.
So much stuff.
A lot of heavy lifting this week. So, yeah. Listeners, go get your Wheaties.
Yeah.
Go get a snack and settle in, because this is a big show.
Right. If you've been living under a rock,
right,
and if you're listening to this show, you probably are. Comic-Con is this week, so a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of TV stuff, a lot more TV stuff than movie, but still a lot of really big movies.
A lot of stuff came out that wasn't necessarily comic-y. It's almost like the movie business is now seeing Comic-Con as a major milestone from which they are going to launch news.
Well, that's a common misconception. You say Comic-Con, and everyone's like comics.
Right.
But a real Comic-Con, San Diego and New York, it's a pop culture fest.
Right.
It's everything.
Right.
So it really covers the gamut.
Yeah.
So
let's cover two pieces of news which have nothing to do with the big news.
Okay.
But I think one piece, most of our listeners already know this.
Okay.
But I know a couple of our listeners won't. But you would be interested to know that over the next few days, Avengers will in fact surpass Avatar as the number one movie of all time.
Now, I thought it had already.
No. They announced at Comic-Con that they're within like a few $100,000.
Okay.
So it's a foregone, because it absolutely will close a few $100,000 in the next few days.
Right.
So it is, and I guess the reason why they were a little bit early to make that announcement is just because it's at Comic-Con, and they made a very classy announcement making reference to James Cameron and his genius and what an important movie Avatar has been for the movie world. And I thought it was a very classy move, and they wanted to be able to announce it on stage. So technically it has not passed, but it's close enough that it absolutely will.
Now, does this come as a surprise? Because I thought I remember a prominent movie business voice saying that it wasn't going to happen.
I don't remember that at all. I have no such memory. I do not recall. Objection! This crazy talk.
Yeah.
What kind of idiot?
Who would have thought?
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of moron could not have seen Endgame?
Who would have thought the pendulum would swing in this direction.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know, but I'll research that and try to see if I can identify who would have been so misguided. I remember when I said that, I was completely confident.
That it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. I was like, no.
You were so confident about it. And I'm like, but everyone's saying.
Right.
Like, would they really be talking about it if it wasn't possible? I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that people are still like that gung-ho about it right now to see it in theaters. What is it, 2 weeks till it's home video?
We already discussed this last week. It comes out on home video on the 28th, and I'm going to hold it over just to make
a point.
Hold it over.
Yeah, but still, just it's crazy.
But that's not even the big news.
Not
even the big news. The big news is indirectly also related to Avengers. Avengers was directed by the Russo brothers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Russo brothers recently announced one of their upcoming projects will include the artist that we talked about on the show a while back, Timothy Truman.
Yeah.
Tim Truman, Lankster artist.
You were raving about how he should get his stuff in the film.
Yeah. An amazingly talented guy. Mm-hmm. Also, sidebar, for people who know me, I fanboyed over Tim because he also did a lot of work with the Grateful Dead Carlos Santana and all kinds of super cool people.
Yeah.
Including some issues of the Grateful Dead comics and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. Album covers. I have a lot of his art right here in the office. Anyway, Tim announced, and then he provided the article in The Hollywood Reporter, that one of his characters that he co-created with John Ostrander Grimjack.
Okay.
Pretty badass looking dude. Grimjack is a sword for hire in a city where magic and technology coexist.
Now, I looked at some photos of this guy, and this is some of the most 90s crazy you've seen, and I love it.
Wait, when you looked at the photos of the guy, did you have to do a double take? You thought you were looking in a mirror?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Is this me?
Grimjack, the David Moulton story.
The David Moulton story. This looks just like me. He's riding this hover bike with this girl on the back? What's going on?
I'm so excited for Tim. This is huge news for him. I mean, these guys have the biggest movie in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And they're obviously talented people who see talent, you know. And for them to see and have an interest and publicly announce they're moving forward with Grimjack is just, it's so exciting. And I just couldn't be happier for Tim. So shout out to Tim Truman and his buddy John Ostrander, however he pronounced that. I can't wait. First of all, to see Grimjack, and second of all, to premiere it at Penn Cinema.
That's going to be awesome. Well, he's local, so you're going to get him up in this joint?
Well, of course, that would be our great privilege, right. But I guarantee you, this guy's got bigger fish to fry. This premiere is going to be in L.A., New York City,
bigger
something like
that.
Bigger
fish to fry than Penn Cinema?
It's hard to believe, but I was assured just the other day by a guy who shall remain nameless, because I actually like him.
Yeah.
But he was acting like a complete ass.
Okay.
And he assured me that Lititz is not, in fact, even a pimple on the ass of Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was put in my place, just in case I didn't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
More like a back pimple.
So anyway, yeah, that's exciting news about Tim Truman, and really, really excited for him, and can't wait to see how this plays out.
Holidays. They come once a year, right?
Unless you call Friday a holiday.
Unless you call Friday a holiday. Well, just like the holidays, Halloween's going to be coming every year for at least 2 years. We got Halloween Kills and then Halloween Ends coming in 2020, of course, and 2021.
They're going to have movies in 2021?
Well...
I mean it'll get rescheduled for early 2020.
Early 2020, yeah. Somehow it'll come out before the other one in 2020. Yeah. I'm not a fan, but I heard that the most recent one did rather well.
When you say Halloween movies, you mean the franchise known as Halloween.
Yeah.
Not the holiday.
Yeah, Michael Myers. Okay. I was making a holiday joke. I know it's hard to follow.
Yeah.
My humor is on so many different levels.
And it's complex.
Yeah, people are like, whoa, so deep.
David makes a joke and you laugh about it like 3 days later when you finally connect the dots.
Yeah. Normally I tell jokes at like, you know, science conventions and stuff. It takes such a big brain to follow through.
Check out the big brain on chat.
Oh, man.
All right. Speaking of big brains and big brain on Chad, which is a Pulp Fiction quote, is it Chad or Brad? I think it might be Brad.
I think it's Brad.
It's Brad. Anyway, that was a great Tarantino movie. I forget what number that was, but we know that Tarantino's upcoming rated R Star Trek will be his 10th.
Right.
And he was quoted as saying, and possibly 10th and possibly final Tarantino movie.
Now, did you look into this?
I did.
Okay. I looked into it a little bit more, and he was saying he wasn't sure he was going to classify this as one of his movies. Because it might be like...
Wasn't an original, you know. Yeah.
I kind of feel for that.
You ever heard of Floyd Mayweather?
No.
He's a boxer. He retired after winning 50 fights and losing zero.
Mayweather versus something. I remember that. Yeah.
Well, then he came out later, and he had like a, what do you call it, like a fake fight. I mean, it was a real fight, but it wasn't sanctioned by boxing. And we all felt like that was kind of a loophole, like in case he loses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is the same thing with Tarantino. Like, he has left himself an out. If he wants to, if he decides that he has another brilliant idea and he wants to do a 10th original concept movie, he has given himself that opportunity. But if he wants to just retire and count his money, then he can do so. I think my prediction is this. If Star Trek is a massive hit, he does not stop at 10.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
If Star Trek sucks, I bet we never see him again.
You don't think he'll do like... Oh, so what you're saying is if Star Trek's good, he'll do one more and then be done.
Right.
But if Star Trek's bad, he's kaputs.
Right.
I feel like it's the other way around.
Oh.
I feel if Star Trek is his grand opus,
yeah,
he'll be okay with
walk out, walking high, out. Yeah.
But if it's just so-so to yeah. bad, or if midway through, if he loses... you know he's going to want so much control. If he loses some control, he'll just be like, well, it wasn't really my movie.
Right.
You know?
How much longer till some scandal comes out about him? Aren't we just waiting?
Didn't something... I don't know. He look, say what you will about his movies. Say what you will about him. The guy looks like a little... Like he should be on a list.
I wouldn't leave my daughter alone.
Right.
You know, if he was like, no, I'd be happy. I'll give her a ride to New York. Fuck that. No way.
Yeah. I don't have a daughter anymore.
Right.
yeah.
And you, sir, just keep moving.
yeah. He looks, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that in itself kept him away.
Right. I don't know. I thought it was interesting news. And I honestly still... I still can't believe he's directing a Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
I still can't, like, fathom that.
That it would actually happen.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Who's next? Like, what would be the next craziest, like, guy?
Oh, if Scorsese was, like...
right. Scorsese's doing the next Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah. yeah. Mel Brooks decides to come back.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So we got one more little thing here.
All right, yeah, do it.
And no, this is you, man. I don't know anything about... Oh, no, I do. So indie darlings Greta Gerwig, not the star of Greta, and Noah...
What's Greta?
yeah, movie you should watch.
When did it come out? Like years ago?
Years ago.
Before my time.
And Neil Baumbach have been hired to write a live-action Barbie movie starring Margot Robbie. Casting... Awesome. Movie? It's definitely one you're going to see, and not me.
Is this... I didn't read anything about this. Is this a... are they going to try to make this a real movie, or is this like a kid's movie, like Lego movie?
I would imagine it's live-action teen, like Dora.
Okay.
Or above.
Yeah.
Maybe.
This movie, to me, gets put in the category of like, okay, that's weird, but let's wait and see the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm shocked... That Margot Robbie...
Yeah, she looks Barbie-ish.
No, she fits the casting call. Like, okay, that's cool. But...
She doesn't have to do this type of movie.
She does not have to do it. She's way too talented. She's got to have directors and producers just falling all over themselves to get her to do movies.
Right. But here's the key, right?
Yeah.
So she did Suicide Squad.
Yes.
And now she's got Harley Quinn. There's a show now coming as well as a movie.
Yep.
Right? So now she understands what it's like to be a character with toys, right? So when someone approaches you and says, you want to do a Barbie movie, you got to pull, who did it? Was it Hamill or somebody who pulled the same thing and they were like, I'll do this. Oh, George Lucas did it with the toys for Star Wars. I'll do this, but I want like...
A slice of the toy game.
I want big toy money.
Yeah.
And then so you do... A kind of crappy movie that they make toys of for 10 years,
even
though the movie wasn't so great. That's a smart move.
Yeah, okay, I'll give it to you.
You know?
Yeah.
You hear it?
Now that you spelled it out for me.
She seems like a smart girl. I think she's down for that.
She's super smart.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm going to lead us through...
Please.
Some big news.
So we have this massive slate of Marvel news.
Yeah.
And David said something along the lines of like, how are we going to tackle all this Marvel news? And I just said like, dude, you got to walk us through this. I'm not qualified.
Yeah. I look, I imagine I wrote down snippets, like little things.
Yep.
And I'm just like waiting for the snore noises every time I nerd out on one of these things.
No.
Okay. So Marvel came out with their projection of movies come out not as long as the one before or drawn out as the previous time they did this, but still a lot of info. So May 1st, 2020, Black Widow. Now, they showed some footage,
some concept art.
Yeah, and I think and so I guess the villain Taskmaster is confirmed, and I think they confirmed it pre-Endgame. I don't remember where. So that's like the takeaways from that. Apparently the footage was, or whatever they showed, was pretty interesting.
I didn't see any footage, but I saw the concept art, and I thought it looked amazing.
Yeah, Taskmaster is, he's a villain who can see anyone fight and then imitate it. So that's why he's so...
Like, he gets you at your own game.
Yeah. So whatever it is you use, he can throw it back at you.
Gotcha.
So that could be pretty interesting. So then, November 5th, 2020, so 2 in 2020, you got the Eternals. Now, a little bit more info on who's doing what in this. So the Eternals, I guess they're going to be Greek gods? Yeah, in this one. So Angelina Jolie is going to be Athena. Selma Hayek is Ajax, leader of the Eternals. Richard Madden is Icarus. Kamal Nanjiani as Kingo Sunin. Brian Tree Henry as Phastos, based on Hephaestus. Leah McHale as Sprite. Don Lee as Gilgamesh, also known as the Forgotten One in the comics. And Lauren Ridloff as Makari. Now, I read all those because people who are into the Greek stuff or whatever they're going to be, or whatever mythology is going to be all about that, I know them by name, but I can't do much more than that. And I don't really know the Eternals, but that's seems like they're getting their act together.
Are you hip to Joseph Campbell?
No.
All right, you got to get hip to Joseph Campbell. I'll get you his books.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are. This guy is, in my opinion, America's leading scholar on leading scholar on mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd have a field day with you.
Okay.
Except that he died.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now there's a field above him for a day.
His loss.
Yeah. I did read Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology.
Did you just make a joke about the field?
Yeah, above his grave.
He's buried in a grave below the field. See,
multi-layers. Took a while to get. I love how that you clocked that a little late.
I was debating whether or not I could let that go. Did he just say that?
I'm a horrible
anyway,
person.
Yeah, I'm a huge Joseph Campbell fan.
Okay.
And if you are into it, it's totally worth your time to explore some Joseph Campbell work.
Yeah.
Anyway, he would have a field day with all these Greek. I love the concept of superhero movies drawing on, I'm not saying it has to be a superhero movie about Greek mythology, but I love the idea of drawing on some of those timeless lore. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's awesome.
So I guess these characters have been around and the gods were based off of them. That's kind of like the premise.
Yeah.
So, all right, now, February 12th, 2021.
So 2020 is Black Widow, which we pretty much know what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
And we just hope it's as awesome as we think it's going to be.
Right.
And then in November of 2020, we have The Eternals, which we think could sort of break the mold and be pretty wild.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, this is going to be hard because it comes out November 5th, right? I'm going to be excited for it. But how excited do I have room for it when Dune... It's only going to be 14 days away.
But moments away.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. This is going to be tough.
Okay.
So February 12th, 2021, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Sick.
Now, this is where it gets crazy, right? You remember Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
The villain of Iron Man 3 was the Mandarin.
Okay.
Right? But then it turned out that he wasn't the real Mandarin. Remember? He was just like a... It was Ben Kingsley pretending to be this thing, right? Turns out, I don't know if you saw, they used to do these, like, shorts that they put on the DVDs. And Ben Kingsley's character gets broken out of prison and taken captive by the real Mandarin, who is, like, a famous mystical villain of Iron Man's with 10 power rings. Each one has a different power, kind of like the Infinity Stone type thing. So, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings will follow the story of Shang-Chi's battle with the Mandarin, the real Mandarin in this case, and not the straw man from Iron Man 3. So Tony Leung, L-E-U-N-G, will play the Mandarin, and Awkwafina will have a yet unannounced role. We were just touting about how good she is last time. So.
In The Farewell. She's a busy kid.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. Shang-Chi himself is going to be played by Canadian Simu Liu. Oh, man, I'm horrible. I'm not trying to be insulting.
Lou, I think.
Liu?
Simu Liu.
L-I-U.
Yeah, anyway, I think that's pronounced Lou.
He's best known as one of the stars in the Canadian comedy Kin's Convenience. And this was a big announcement because he was only cast last Tuesday.
Nice.
So, like, that's a quick turnaround to, like, just jump out and tout his name around. So, very cool news.
Should we make fun of Canadians for a minute?
I got an hour.
Do we have any Canadian listeners? What if we made fun of them as a means to find out if we
had any Canadian? Yeah. Well, they'll just apologize anyway.
Who are our favorite Canadians? Dana Carvey.
Mm.
Mike Myers.
Is Rick Moranis Canadian?
Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
I think there's some other ones that we're forgetting that are like they're less, they don't like people to know they're Canadian. Mm. Like it turns out later after you've already announced yourself as a fan.
Did you say Jim Carrey? Isn't he a Canadian?
Oh, could be.
I don't know.
Anyway, okay, so yeah. They cast a Canadian to play Shang-Chi. That's pretty neat.
Right.
Cool.
An Asian Canadian, so yeah. Then May 7th, 2021, so this is our second of three in 2021, we're going to have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I love that title.
Yeah. So this is going to be, Spider-Man, Far From Home, the ads introduced the idea of the multiverse, and then they squashed it, being just a lie from Mysterio. But now that there must be some sort of multiverse, they're introducing. So,
you know who would be great to deal with the multiverse?
Who's that?
Doctor Strange.
Of course. Well, he bounces through those other small dimensions and stuff.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So I'm wondering if it'll be actual parallel universes or if it's going to be just the other dimensions. Anyway.
I think what's really interesting about this is the quote from what they told the crowd at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make the first scary Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
That's going to be crazy.
Wait, what? Doctor Strange, what's that? Is that a sequel or a third?
It's a sequel.
Okay, so Doctor Strange 2.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is that's going to be scary?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm down.
Yeah, well, I'll check it out.
Because in the comics, he fights like demons and stuff, so, and it could get crazy.
Venom was supposed to be billed as being scary. I know how much you love to talk about Venom.
It was the only thing scary about the movie was the fact that I saw it.
Oh, I walked right in. I apologize, listeners, for walking right into that one.
There's a movie that they keep saying they're going to release that was supposed to be the first Marvel horror called New Mutants.
Oh, yeah.
And they finished it, and they just never released it. And Fox owned it, and now Disney owns it because they own Fox. Yeah. I don't think they'll ever release that. I don't think that's ever going to come out. But it's going to be tethered to the events of the TV show WandaVision. Well, they're going to tie directly into it. So I thought that's interesting, that they're going to tie in these new shows, which we'll get to in a minute, that are going to be on Disney Plus, because the Netflix shows were supposed to be big tie-ins to the movies. And
not so much.
No. They always were like, they always just called it the event or whatever, right. And they never really referenced anything that was going on. They never interfered. It would have been cool if they popped in during Endgame, but now they can use those characters again. Anyway, moving on. November 5th, 2021, Thor, Love and Thunder. First off, the title is hilariously awesome. It's like it looks equally as 80 as right. Ragnarok. Yeah.
I had to do a double take to make sure that I wasn't looking at like some fan art.
It looks fake.
Yeah.
It does. It does. So two big things to take home from this, right? Thor will be back, of course, but there's the Valkyrie is confirmed to be LGBTQ character, first in the MC universe. She said she now that she's king, she has to find a queen.
Nice.
So, but the big thing is Natalie Portman will be Thor.
Wait a minute. Wasn't she in Star Wars?
She was.
The bad Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, first of all, we love Natalie Portman. We're huge fans.
Yeah. Who's not?
And what an incredible career to have had a significant role in Star Wars. And also now a significant role in the MCU.
Right.
That's...
Well, she was in the first two Thors.
She was?
She's his love interest. She's Thor's love interest.
Oh, that's right.
And then they would just talk about her. They'd be like, where is she? And then
Oh, that's right.
During Endgame, was it? One of them, he talks about how they broke up.
Okay.
And she broke up with him.
So how does this movie play out where she's a female Thor?
Yes. Now, in the comics, it's a really interesting thing. It's a similar type thing where Thor has this new hammer now.
Yeah.
He's got, what's it called, Stormbringer or whatever. Okay. So he doesn't really need Mjolnir.
Podcast at pencinema.com.
Correct us.
Neither one of us is right. I know that. It's not Stormbringer.
Stormbreaker?
Stormbreaker it might be.
Yeah.
Might be.
Might be.
Podcast at pencinema.com.
So he's got that.
Yeah.
And he's handed off kingship to Valkyrie in the comics. I don't remember who it is. But I think in the comics he becomes like takes Odin's seat. So there needs to be a Thor. Well, in the comics, Jane Foster is dying of cancer, and she picks it up.
Right.
And when she picks it up, she becomes transformed into like a very Norwegian goddess type Thor. So she doesn't look like herself.
Is she cured?
When she's holding it, she's fine. When she's Thor, but when she transforms back, she's still dying of cancer. Now, I don't know if they'll go that route
right
in the movie, but I'm kind of curious to see if she'll keep Natalie Portman, or if Natalie Portman will just be her like alter ego version of herself. She'll be played by some tall blonde or something.
Right. Interesting.
Just like the
character. I bet you they keep Natalie Portman.
Yeah, probably. So, now in addition to all these films through 2020, Kevin Feige also reminded the crowd that Black Panther 2 is coming, Guardians 3 is coming, Captain Marvel 2 is coming, and big news, officially the Fantastic Four are coming. Which is crazy.
How do we feel about that?
Well,
are we starting from scratch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I remember we were talking about stuff that was in Spider-Man, and we said there's one, two, something's coming, one, two, three, dot, dot, dot. I think that's really interesting. Other big news. I know this is like Fantastic Four, that's kind of crazy, but Mahershala Ali, wasn't he the guy that was in True Detective?
He was in True Detective and also that movie that we all loved about the driver, the piano.
The
Green Book. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing actor.
Right.
I'm sorry that I'm not good with names. He appeared on stage to announce that he will be playing Blade in the new Blade movie,
which is being held till Phase 5.
I didn't see that part.
I saw that.
Phase 5. Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy that they would announce who's playing if they're holding it to Phase 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
I read that.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa. That's not it, guys. You are like, when's this Marvel news going to end? It's not. It's not going to end. It's never over. We got the shows. And the reason, I know we don't normally talk TV, but the reason I feel we need to talk about these is because of the push that they're going to tie into the movies, and you're going to need to see these things.
So, I think that this is a monumental milestone. Someday, I don't know when, 10 years, 100 years, next year, early 2020.
2020.
Someday we're going to look back and identify this franchise, this Marvel Cinematic Universe, as the beginning of when theaters, movie theaters, cinema, and television shook hands.
Mm. Yeah.
And started really taking advantage of the marketing opportunities to tie into each other. It's a new business model. I think it's fascinating. I think it's good for both industries, for television and also for theaters.
Yeah.
So I if this goes away, they're setting it up to, which Marvel has never done anything but hit a home run, then I think that this is going to end up being a monumental series of events.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is they're not just like here. It's not like with Netflix. They're like, here's some new characters and we're just going to kind of roll with it. They're like, here are established characters from the movie played by the same people coming for what I'm assuming are going to be limited series.
Right.
And first off, we have Falcon and the Winter Soldier starring the same people who play Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Anthony Mackie, and I can't remember the guy who plays Winter Soldier. But the villain of that series is going to be Baron Zemo, the same villain from Civil War, which I find to be really interesting.
Yeah.
I think that for those two characters, he's an appropriately staged villain. Like, he's not too powerful.
Right.
I mean, he's just a guy.
Right.
But then we have WandaVision,
something.
Which is intended to explore the Scarlet Witch's headspace after losing her boyfriend and being dust for 5 years. Joining the cast is Teyonah Parris as Monica Rambeau. Now, the reason I put that in there is Monica Rambeau was introduced as a little girl in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
In the 90s. And she, as an adult, is also a superpowered superhero.
Will she have a cameo in Last Blood? Is she related to John Rambeau?
I'm pretty sure that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about her and him passing on.
Coming back from Nam.
Yeah, coming back from Nam, passing a torch down. My gosh. Okay.
I love how much Ed. I need to report to our listeners how incredibly irritated David just got by my little.
I was like, I can't believe we went this direction, but whatever.
He hates it. He hates it. He's talking serious Marvel news.
Come on.
There's no time for fooling around.
Yeah. I want no snoring. I want no Rambo jokes.
Nobody even knew he had a sister. This is groundbreaking stuff.
Same mom, different dad.
All right. For our friends there, to clarify, it's not spelled the same way. It's spelled the French way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Loki.
So Monica
Rambeau
could actually hook up with John Rambeau, and it wouldn't be like weird because they're obviously not related.
Right.
So that could be a future
she's a little young,
right there.
Right?
I don't know. I wasn't really listening to what you said.
What? Look, we only have three more things to get through on this news that you don't care about.
I totally care about the Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, and Hawkeye.
Okay.
This WandaVision is a little bit too, like, I need more. I need, like, a trailer or something.
So,
like,
yeah.
I need to be sold. That's all. I'm just being honest.
Okay.
Just being real.
All right.
Tell me about Loki.
Next up, we got Loki. Tom Hiddleston said that this is going to be based on the Loki that stole the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame and a side story there as to what happened with him. Watch, everyone's like, what about that? So now we're going to find out.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
I love that idea. I love a limited series or whatever this is going to end up being called that answers some of the questions that are loose ends.
So you don't have to spend a whole movie or half a movie like figuring it out. It doesn't feel like a plot hole.
It's awesome.
Then we have a series called What If. Jeffrey Wright, who I love, and I'm glad to see him finally doing some Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Great. He's so good.
Great character in a lot of James Bond movies.
Yeah.
He plays, I forget the guy's name, but he plays Bond's CIA friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's going to have a role in. What's up? What's the new one coming out? Is it Bond 25 or Bond 45? The reason why I ask is because I took an interesting picture.
50, isn't it?
I was in New York City this week. And I took an interesting picture that I'm going to post on our Facebook page.
Bond 45.
Are we going to be the first to break this news, the James Bond musical? Coming to a Broadway stage near you.
That's why people's ankles keep getting twisted.
Right?
It's all the dance routines.
Oh, my God. We just busted the case wide open.
Whoa. You heard it here. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Hard-hitting journalists.
Right.
Right here. So I apologize because I didn't mean to take this off the rails. But What If, I think, is a fascinating premise.
Yeah.
Like, because that always – you're always – whenever I am in – whenever I'm thinking about a multiverse, whether it's in Spider-Man or, you know, any sort of alternate reality type of moments.
Yeah.
I'm always wondering, like, is there somebody who's above this, who's sort of keeping score or, you know, I think this is great. I can't wait to see this.
Now, this isn't the first time we've seen the Watchers. So Uatu is the Watcher that watches Earth, which is funny because up until this point, it was rumored to have been Stan Lee. Because in Guardians of the Galaxy, when they're, I think, Groot, Rocket and Yondu are bouncing through so all things. One of the places they go through with Stan Lee's cameo is three or four Watchers talking to Stan Lee, and he's telling them about his time on Earth, like Uatu would have done watching it. So I think at that point it was like, oh, he's Uatu, and that's why he's in every movie and he's watching everything. But I guess he's just a agent of the Watchers. So this used to be a comic series. They still bring it back every now and then. It's like, what would have happened if Spider-Man, if Peter Parker didn't get bit? And it was like his neighbor or something like that.
His aunt.
Yeah. Or what would have happened if, he would have grown six arms to match how it is. Yeah. Anyway, so that could be really cool. They're going to – I guess that's going to be post Doctor Strange because he's going to be exploring different multiverse options and stuff. That's
what if it's pre-Doctor – it'd be great if it was pre-Doctor Strange and sort of prime the pump for the multiverse.
Oh, and then maybe some of the – Doctor Strange visits some of the worlds they explore.
I'm just saying, like, it sort of, gets us all – on the same page regarding how multiverse works.
That could be pretty interesting.
Be cool.
Yeah.
Like if and that goes to what I was talking about earlier about the business model of like if this is a limited series that is sort of tying in and the big finale is this movie that comes out on such and such.
Yeah.
And lots of people will just see the movie just because they're excited to see Doctor Strange, but some people who are like real hardcore fans will in fact watch all of it and there could be tie-ins. That'd be cool.
Yeah. No, I think that's real cool.
Yeah.
So last thing we got here. Hawkeye. This is going to focus on Hawkeye training another hero with no powers, Katie Bishop, which I think is really cool because there is like a slew of there could be a team of young Avengers coming up, and they could do a young Avengers movie of like the next generation of heroes. You know, you'd introduce Miles Morales, Spider-Man, or you introduce Ironheart, which is the girl who takes over Iron Man. It could be really cool.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of some superheroes that are that don't have so-called powers.
Yeah, passing on their training.
Right, somebody who trains to earn the ability to fight alongside the Avengers.
Right.
A la Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for...
Oh, whew, that's exhausting.
There's so much news.
Oh.
If you didn't come here for Comic-Con news, then I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You came to the wrong place.
What's up?
Yeah. Because there's also a ton of trailers.
I wonder what news we missed.
I'm sure we did.
Podcast@penncinema.com.
I went through a ton of stuff this afternoon just trying to find everything. Yeah. And I was like, I reached a point of like saturation where I was just kind of glazing over and I was like, I think we're full.
Yeah. No, I think we got the good stuff, the important stuff.
Okay.
Sit the trailers.
Why don't you leave the – I've just been gabbing for a while. Trailers.
The first trailer I was really excited about until it came to the conclusion and said, look for it on DVD and digital.
Okay. See, the trailer I watched didn't have that at the end.
The Black String.
Yeah.
Actually looks really good. It's a horror movie, and the premise is sort of been done a million times, but the premise is a lonely guy calls a phone number for some stripper to come over, and he basically sells his soul for doing the deed with the lady, and then the next day has a funny rash.
Right.
And then the next day the rash isn't so funny. And then the next day the rash is like terrifying. And then of course it just all falls apart from there.
Right.
And there appear to be some time warps.
Yeah.
Some time lapses.
Or hallucinating I don't know.
So I thought it looked really cool. Until I saw the DVD part, because that always makes, not just because I'm on my high horse about theatrical experience and so on, but just because I always get nervous, like, if a movie wasn't good enough to put in theaters, like...
Is it really? Was it really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I thought Frankie Muniz looked pretty cool in this.
Yeah.
But somewhere around midway through, I thought, I don't know. Yeah. This doesn't look like maybe it would be that good. Like,
right.
It might be good for a little bit. I just don't know if it would pan out.
I feel like he might be the only worthwhile thing
part
in the
of
movie.
It, yeah.
All right, so moving on to a movie that looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Let Go. First of all, I just need to say again for the record, I'm like a sucker for a good soundtrack.
Right.
Like, it could be a mediocre movie, and if the soundtrack is amazing, then... To me,
forget
that's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I loved Guardians of the Galaxy so much.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie that I loved, The Big Chill, has one of my all-time favorite soundtracks. But anyway, this movie called Don't Let Go is about a cop whose niece gets apparently murdered, but somehow in checking out the crime scene or whatever, he finds himself in the future?
No, okay.
Does he make a deal? He makes a prayer or makes a deal with God or something?
Mm-mm. He discovers the crime scene. He gets a call from her
right.
as it's happening.
Right.
They're dead. Right. 2 weeks later, he gets a phone call from her.
Right.
So it's not he gets teleported to the future. He's just living his life and gets a phone call from the past. And it's an opportunity for him. He sees it as an opportunity to change. And he's like, you have 4 days. Someone's going to kill you.
So he didn't get teleported. He got
he just lived
somebody
his life.
Else did.
No, nobody got teleported.
I've never gotten a phone call from the past.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, what was it, Frequency or whatever? That
okay.
movie with the guy like yep. used the radio to talk to his dad.
Yeah.
Wires got crossed, you know?
Okay.
And so he's getting phone calls from his niece in the past, and he thinks that he can change how they were killed.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
I thought this movie looked great. The movie's called Don't Let Go. The trailer is amazing. I seriously was like, I can't wait to see this movie.
The acting looks pretty good, too. So it's,
yep. Chadwick Boseman or something.
Is that this one? I thought he was in...
Oh, I'm sorry. Chadwick's in 21 Bridges. Right.
But either way, the acting in this yeah. looks really good as well.
Yeah. Talented yeah. cast.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a problem with the next trailer. What's your problem, Penn?
What's your problem with Penn?
See, we always... David, you never get it right. The segment is called, What's Your Problem, Penn? Every week you want to make it, What's Your Problem with Penn?
Right. It's just, you don't know what the with means.
You like, just,
are you hosting it? Or is it the problem with you? It's so ambiguous. Go either way.
I thought maybe you just assumed there were so many problems with Penn
that had to be the title. How ambiguous it is.
I do love ambiguity.
Yeah.
My favorite storyteller of all time is Jerry Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Garcia and Robert Hunter. Robert Hunter wrote almost all the lyrics that Jerry sang. But a lot of times Robert would write a complete song. Like, for example, Friend of the Devil. And he would lop off the last verse where he tied everything up together. I'm sorry. Robert Hunter would write the complete song. And then when Jerry sang it and put music to it for the Grateful Dead, he would lop off the last verse.
Mm.
So to leave the story open. So you and Jerry both are fans of ambiguity.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, practically the same guy. The segment is called, What's Your Problem, Penn? Here's my problem. You know what my problem is? Here's my problem. Everybody hates the new trailer for the movie Cats. Okay? I think... I can't read what David wrote on the show notes because we already said the F word once. Grandma Robin's listening. I don't want to embarrass Mom.
Yeah.
You know, whole nine yards. But I will just say that it appears that David is lining himself up with the rest of the world as thinking that this trailer is too weird, too crazy, too nutty, too bizarre, too awful. Here's my problem. My problem is, isn't the freaking Broadway show crazy? I mean, the whole
yeah.
premise, the original thing, is about cats. So if you're weirded out about all these human things walking around, licking each other and singing songs, like, then you should have a whole... I mean, Cats is one of the most successful Broadway
right.
shows of all time ever.
Yeah.
You listen to... You watch this trailer, and from the other room... Kayla's like, oh, you're listening to Cats. She didn't know there was a movie being made. She thought I was just listening to it.
Yeah.
This is one of the most talented casts ever put together.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Hudson, Taylor Swift, James Corduroy.
Jason Derulo.
I mean, this movie, I think, is going to be great.
Okay. So I wrote, back off. I wrote my note.
All right.
First, like 30 seconds.
Which said, what the actual F?
Yeah. And I stand by that because it's so weird. But by the time the music kicked in, I was the longer the singing went, the more on board I got. The more I was like, all right, this is weird. But, like, I mean, I watch anime stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen some weird things.
Yeah.
You know? But, I don't know. If we review it, I won't argue, but I don't know if I'll see it on my own volition.
Okay, here's now my second favorite thing besides sharing my problems with you fine people. My second favorite thing is contradicting myself.
Yeah.
There were parts of this trailer where I was like, oh my God, what are we doing? And I feel like, because it was also, there was also, who's the director? I forget if it was produced or directed by people who had something to do with Les Mis.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's the people involved in this movie from start to finish, the cast, the directors, the producers, the team, it's the music from the original show.
Mm-hmm.
These are all A-list people. I feel like there's a possibility that the problem here is that they tried to be too many things. Like, I can picture somebody in a meeting going, well, I don't want to just put the Broadway show on stage. I want it to be different. I want it to stand on its own 4 feet.
Mm.
See what it did there?
So brilliant.
Brilliant. I wanted it to stand on its own 4 paws. Right. And then somebody else in the room was like, yeah, but parts of it should be funny. And then somebody else in the room was like, yeah, but it needs to also be really deep. And then somebody else in the room was like, yeah, but it also needs to be true to the original Broadway show. You know what I mean? And so I feel like all these people wanted it to be their vision, and I feel like none of them won the argument. And maybe is this an example of a movie trying to be too many things to too many people?
Mm.
But this is a major holiday release.
Mm. What's so, the date?
December.
Oh.
So I feel like there's...
This will beat Star Wars.
You want to go double or nothing? I'll take Star Wars. You take Cats, double or nothing.
Double or nothing. I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it.
So I feel like it's definitely too late to, like, you're not going to go fix it.
Yeah.
But is there a way that the marketing campaign can embrace a more consistent, a narrower, like, can they really play up the music? Can they play up the Broadway connection? Like, can they play up the soundtrack? Rather than trying to play up how funny James Corduroy is.
Yeah. Now, okay. Have you watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes.
The whole way through?
Yes.
This just, all I can think about is how Titus was like, watching Cats. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it turns out the way you get in Cats is you just go on stage and pretend like you're a part of it. And the whole show is just a ruse. Yeah, that's all I can ever think about.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Cats, I don't think the trailer was as bad as the rest of the world wants to beat up on it.
It's pretty crazy, though.
It is definitely crazy.
Like, prepare your butts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's going to have an audience.
You bet.
Yeah.
It Trailer 2.
Boy. Okay. It Trailer 2. I liked this trailer a lot. I don't know if I liked it more than the last one, but definitely on the same the first trailer. Because the first trailer had that creepy grandma in it.
Was there a major difference between the two?
Just the first one was a little bit like slower and only focused really on Jessica Chastain and I think James McAvoy. This one has all the characters, shows more of like the world and a little more of them as kids and stuff. You know what? I think I do like this one better than the first one, the more I think about it. This actually got me excited to watch the movie. And now, as I've said before, the first movie I watched mostly with my eyes shut, even though I still think it's great. But this got me like kind of pumped to watch the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt the same way, except that I was already pumped. I just, like I said, I have no problem with the trailer. I thought it was great. I kept double checking to make sure I was watching the correct trailer because I feel like there was a lot of – it wasn't that dramatically different from the first one.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Then we have Ad Astra Trailer 2.
I didn't see this one.
You didn't watch this one.
I ran out of minutes, David.
Wow. Wow. This – I loved the first Ad Astra trailer.
Yeah.
Right? This one paints a different picture. Like, it looked like in the first one, like, it was like current times with a little bit more space.
Right.
This is apparent that it's more futuristic. Like, we've colonized some of the moon, and the cities are a little bit more futuristic.
Okay.
But maybe space technology isn't that far advanced. It's just a little bit more. So it's a little bit more in our future, add a little bit more sci-fi to it, made it a little less of a stretch to have some of the things going on in the trailer. I loved it. I loved it a lot. My trailer of the week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think because it's just like, it just struck me as really solid, good sci-fi that hasn't really been done I mean, we talked about it before about how what we thought was happening with his dad, but this opens up like more options because they added more, instead of it being so straightforward, there's more of a sci-fi thing to it. So I don't know that if it'll have as much of a mass appeal with this one as the first trailer gave off, but I liked it.
I just assumed Cats was our trailer of the week.
Close second.
Close second. Yeah. All right. Well, the next trailer, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
This was my trailer of the week.
Oh, okay.
I thought this trailer looked awesome. I was a little confused about how they were going to, how Tom Cruise was going to handle this, how he was going to play in. And I love the fact that this trailer did not give away the whole movie.
Mm.
I read a couple comments online about that, and I agreed with them completely. I feel like the movie, the trailer showed me, it answered the only question that I really had, which was, what's Tom Cruise's deal? Like, why is he still a fighter pilot? You know what I mean? And that whole conversation, I loved his line where the drill instructor, or whatever his role was, said, how are you not an admiral by now?
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise goes, that's one of life's great mysteries, sir. And I also loved his line about, I say this, I've seen it on T-shirts and bumper stickers in the running community, which is like on the topic of running, like Ironman or marathons or ultras, where the concept is, someday I won't be able to do this, but today is not that day, right? And so somebody said something to Tom Cruise about, you're gonna die and you're going to kill yourself and you're going to burn out and something awful is going to happen or whatever. And Tom Cruise just looks at him and says, maybe, sir, but not today.
Yeah.
And then they cued in the dun, 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 dun. And I don't know. I mean, call me cheesy or nostalgic or soft. I thought this trailer got me excited to see it. When I heard there was a new Top Gun movie coming, I was skeptical.
Yeah.
But watching this trailer, I got excited.
I enjoyed this trailer. I thought it looks cool, but in the back of my head, I just kept wondering to myself, does this premise still work?
What premise? They didn't say anything about what the movie was about.
Just this type of, like, military movie.
Absolutely works.
Does it?
Absolutely.
Does it still function? You think so?
100%.
Okay.
Why do you say no?
I don't know. It just, we don't see them anymore.
We don't see Westerns anymore either.
Yeah.
Except That's for true. When they bring British people over to the Wild Wild West.
Throwback.
What's up? All right, the next trailer was my close second for trailer of the week. Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Mm.
The Red Band trailer. This movie killed me. Or I'm sorry, this trailer killed me. This was so funny. I thought it was perfect. I've been beating up on Kevin Smith a little bit lately. You know, we were sort of both bad-mouthing him a little bit, saying he's a little cocky, a little pleased with himself. Watching him in this trailer reminded me of why we love watching Jay and Silent Bob. I mean, he's hilarious. He doesn't have any lines. And just the whole thing's just – I thought it was great.
I didn't think this was amazing. However, Kevin Smith was amazing as Silent Bob in this. Like – all of the funny parts are all his, like, facial reactions. And the, like, like, you know, wiping stuff off of his face. or something like that. So all of that was hilarious. The rest of the movie, I don't know how much it interests me. So I'm a little curious to see what the trailer two
wiping stuff off his face.
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't care to comment more about that?
Someone makes a gesture.
Some sort of lewd.
Lewd gesture.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when he was eating a sandwich and got something on his... I just wanted to see you squirm. I saw the trailer. I just wanted to see you squirm. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on. 21.
Whoa. How are we moving on from Jay and Silent Bob?
Okay.
Only love can make you a dad. Any idiot can be a father, but only love can make you a dad. And then the other cop calls him out on it. I mean, this is just brilliant. I feel like what I loved most about, well, I'm sorry, that's hyperbole. I liked a lot of things about this trailer. What I realized is going to make this movie fun is how much fun they're making of themselves of Hollywood in general. It seems like there's going to be 100 cameos, and they're all going to make fun of, like, every cameo is going to make fun of themselves. And it just, like, I feel like this is going to be one of those kinds of movies where nobody's ever going to study it for being a great film, you know, but it's going to really be funny and make fun of the whole situation that we're all in.
I like that this is a sequel to the only Jay and Silent Bob movie I've seen.
Okay.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
So I could actually watch this and semi know what was going on.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Look it up. Oh, and also shout out to the Penn Cinema podcast for actually sharing this trailer with Pirate Dave.
Yeah.
Before Pirate Dave saw it.
I know.
Which is unprecedented. It only took us 26 episodes.
And, I mean, he didn't say it, and because it's electronic mail,
right.
You couldn't see it, but there were tears. If it would have been paper, there would have been tear marks.
I assumed, yeah.
On it, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, 21 Bridges. It's a movie produced by the Russo brothers.
Produced by the Russo
not
brothers.
Not directed.
Right.
Starring Chadwick Black Panther Man.
Yeah.
Sorry. Can't think of his
full. I think this movie looks great.
Yeah.
I to me, this movie, like, film critics are going to call it predictable, formulaic, blah, 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 and they're probably right. But I don't care. You know, because I enjoy these kinds of movies. You know, I love a good cops and robbers movie. Maybe the cops were in on it. Maybe it was a setup. I love the premise of, like, if you were coming to steal 1,600 kilograms of heroin or whatever, would you drive a two-seater BMW? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and so I love those kinds of movies where it's probably going to be a dumb shoot 'em up movie, but I'm on board and I think it looks good.
It's kind of funny that this back to back with Top Gun, they both feel like 90s films.
Oh yeah,
right, just updated.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it looks interesting. I don't think it'll be like, you know, top hit or whatever,
right.
Awards or anything, but it looks like it could be a good movie,
right.
Just a solid film. Right. And then rounding up our trailers for this week. Hustlers, based on a true story about some strippers who decide to hustle some dudes and get their money. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I pushed myself through this trailer.
I did not watch the whole thing. I watched the first little bit, and then I fast-forwarded, and then I heard them say something about, I'm just trying to take care of my grandma, and then I forwarded, you know, to the end.
The quote was, I just want to take care of my grandma and maybe go shopping.
And maybe go shop. Right. this looks dumb.
Yeah.
I don't even have anything like redeeming.
Well, it starts off with, I think, Cardi B. Like, just, I guess she just is in it at some point. And I was like, is this her story? Is that what this is going to be? But I don't
know. Is it?
No. I mean, I think she was a stripper before a rapper or whatever, but.
Yeah. I don't know. STX, the studio behind this movie, STX, is a decent studio, but their whole business model is based on take an average quickly made movie and put some big names to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is what this movie is, and it doesn't
J-Lo.
It does nothing for me.
Yeah. All right. What was going on this weekend?
Wow. Only one thing you need to know about this weekend.
Yeah.
A wimbo wep a wimbo wep.
I would have started off with Spinya.
Lion King. I mean, we'll get into it in a minute, but Lion King was amazing. We could not get enough shows fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we overflowed a lot of audiences into the IMAX show. That's really pretty much all you need to know. I mean, Spider-Man's hanging in there. Avengers is hanging in there. But this was one of those weekends where somebody comes up to the window and they ask for a title besides Lion King. And you're like, oh, that's right. We have other movies besides Lion King.
It
doesn't feel like you're doing anything except selling Lion King.
Right. And it was one of the hottest weekends in forever.
Right.
And I was here on Saturday, midday, and it was like this place was packed.
Yeah.
So many people here getting in from the heat.
And, of course, the air conditioning in Theater 12 broke. And we had a VIP in there. None other than our own Mystery Gobble.
The Mystery Gobble?
Yeah, he was in there trying to enjoy a film.
Sweating bullets, Lion King?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Lion King.
Was he crazy?
I forget what movie it was, but Yeah, so we've been struggling with that. But other than that, we kept the air on all weekend and everybody was happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, no, there's not much else to say about that. You want to get into Lion King?
Let's get into the Lion King.
Yeah.
All right. We kind of briefly spoke about this.
We here at Penn Cinema Podcast.
I really enjoyed this movie. This is my favorite, quote-unquote, live-action version of the Disney movies that they've done.
As compared to like what? Like what's
Aladdin,
an example?
Oh, okay. Or Beauty and the Beast, gotcha. Or any of the other ones, Cinderella, any of the other ones that they've, Melissa Finn, well, I haven't seen Melissa Finn, but yeah, any of the other ones they've done, this is my favorite one. And the reason I air quoted live action is because it's all CG, it's not actual live action, but that's what they're touting it as.
Somebody asked me if it was shot on location.
A location in the computer?
It's like, sure.
Yeah.
Sure it was.
Totes. Yeah. It looks fabulous. So great. And I think they learned their mistake that they had from the Jungle Book where they tried to make the characters look like they were actually talking. And instead, they just kind of like move their mouths a little bit. And it just is somehow more believable than making them look like they're pronouncing the words.
Interesting.
Like they did in the Jungle Book. I didn't feel that fatigue as much as I had that I've talked about in the past with these movies. I felt it a little bit between I Just Want to Be King and when Timon and Pumbaa showed up. And then from that point on, I was fine.
Mm.
So it was a very short time. Well, usually it's like 20 minutes in and I'm just waiting for the movie to be over. Not that it's bad. I'm usually just like, all right, I get it. You know what I mean? Like. Oh, what's
is
up?
Is it hard being you?
Yeah, so hard. You know? Right?
Walking around that pretty and so that smart.
This funny?
Okay, I get it. I see what you did here. How much longer?
Come on. Seriously. So what did you think of the movie?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. My problem... Oh. An encore What's Penn's Problem segment.
What's your problem with Penn?
What's your problem, Penn segment? Is my problem is that with movies like this, are you good at recognizing, like remembering the cast and recognizing who's who? Are you good at that?
Usually.
I'm bad at that.
I know.
So halfway through, I lean over to Marley and I'm like, oh, that's Seth Rogen. And Marley's like, no, that's not Seth Rogen. And then they go, Andrew goes, Seth Rogen is Pumbaa or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that the warthog's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, Seth Rogen's Pumbaa. I'm like, oh, okay. So then some other lion or somebody comes on who I thought was Pumbaa. And I'm like, oh, that's Seth Rogen. And then when I actually heard Seth Rogen, I was like, oh, what an idiot. Yeah. You know, of course, because he's got the most identifiable voice in all movies. Anyway, I thought all the character actors were great, but I was so good all the time. I got like pulled out of the movie because I was trying to figure out, like, the one that really got me was Phil LaMarr. He played one of the comical, you know how there was two hyenas that were sort of like a little bit of comic relief? He played one of them. And he's from Saturday Night Live. And I recognized his voice right away, but I couldn't put a name to it. And I was like,
Who played Timon? That's the one thing I couldn't figure out.
I have no
out.
Idea.
All right. Well, all I know
I can't play that game when I'm actually in the movie watching it.
All I know is you saw it, and that day we met up, and you were like, is it weird that, like, the guy who did Vader is Mufasa? And I'm like, yeah, he's always been Mufasa. Like, it's the only guy reprising his role.
The comment I made to you was, and podcast at Penn Cinema, if you felt the same way, I could not hear Mufasa as anything except Darth Vader. Like, I pictured Darth Vader in a sound studio with his helmet and his lightsaber turned off, of course, for safety.
Yeah, and you don't want that buzz.
Right. That'd be very distracting. But I pictured Vader in the studio, like, reading the role of Mufasa.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I loved it. I Amy was not able to see it. I think she was working.
Was she blindfolded or
Amy was working the morning we saw it, but I was anxious. I stuck to it anyway because we watched it Thursday morning, and then after we watched it, I was like, bing, bang, boom, one thing after another for the next 4 days.
Yeah.
We traveled to New York City. We traveled to Rehoboth. We were all over the place. And I knew that I would not have another spare minute before the podcast. So because of my commitment to the show, I saw the movie without Amy, and I can't wait to see it again when she has a minute to watch it.
This is the first of the live action that I'm totes down to watch again.
Yeah.
Like I would not hesitate to see it again.
If somebody was like, hey, David, can we go see Lion King? You'd be like, in a minute.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I wouldn't even be like, let's see what else is out. Yeah. I'd just be like, let's go. Yeah. The few changes that I was kind of, that are fine. Rafiki was always my favorite character in the cartoon. I still love him in this. I love that instead of having him just like rambling, he's actually speaking some sort of African language in the movie for a lot of the parts. I thought that was really cool. I just missed his cane, and then it came in at the end.
Yeah.
And when he pulled it out, there's his cane. I loved it. But I always liked the like look of him walking with the cane, which you don't see much of. But And the other thing was, when Mufasa spoke to him, it wasn't as grand as it is in the cartoon, where it's like the clouds form the lion's head. Right. It's like there's lightning that kind of makes an outline of the lion's face. Like, it's not as like monumental to me as it could have been.
How do you think they handled the stampede and the death of Mufasa?
What do you mean?
Well, I thought they handled it well, and I was grateful that it was not more explicit.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like it keeps the movie really safe for families, and you get the point. There's no need to show any, you know, you saw him get hit twice by the herd, so you know what, you know, when he falls, you know why he dies.
Yeah.
But
he's not all bloody,
right? Just, I mean, I didn't think they would go that route, but I was glad they didn't.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought it worked. I thought it was because the animals look so real. It was really touching when like Simba curls up next to him when he's dead.
You know what else was very moving for me and Marley is that young Simba looked exactly like our little pup, our dog Hannah. And you may recall a number of weeks ago, Hannah got hit by a horse at my house.
Yeah.
Horse and buggy. And she was really screwed up. It was very traumatic for all of us. So it was we're all sort of high on Hannah right now. And, you know, when something traumatic happens and then you sort of recover and, you know, you're a little softer. And so it was really neat to sort of see that. And I went home and I felt like, we should rename her Simba. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. No, I thought it was great. I recommend it highly.
Well, moving on to listener notes. This week, we had two write-ins here. Joel Cornett wrote in, and he was talking to us. We talked about Star Wars last week. And I think we were talking about the Red Guards.
Red Stormtrooper.
Yeah, and whether or not Palpatine was back. And he was saying that Palpatine had, in one of the prequels, talked about knowing how to stay alive forever, and that he may have perfected that, and that's why we hear him laugh. So just a small little snafu, like, tag on to that from Joel. And then Pirate Dave wrote in, and he was like, yo, you mystery Ben Affleck movie, not so much a mystery.
Untitled Ben Affleck.
Untitled Ben Affleck movie.
Has a title and information.
Torrance was the name of the film.
I wasn't able to find out really anything more about
Neither was I. I was just like, huh.
I mean, shout out to Pirate Dave, because he at least was able to get us some basic information.
The keeper of knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. But another point, we also talked about Kevin Smith doing a charity thing.
Yeah, in his hometown in New Jersey.
Yeah. And Pirate Dave's going to go.
Yeah.
He's got tickets. So that's pretty cool. So he's going to report back.
I want to hear how that goes. Can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. I guarantee you that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing? What's been going on?
I'm fully committed.
Fully?
Stranger Things.
All right.
Marley and I are just one show after another.
How far into it are you?
Second season. Middle of second season. I haven't started third season yet. So, but I like I said, the last 4 days, literally,
you've been away.
I've been jamming. I haven't watched anything in the last 4 days.
Right.
I'll tell you what I did watch.
What's that?
We went to Broadway.
Yeah.
And saw Moulin Rouge.
Amazing.
On Broadway. You ever seen the movie?
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite musical.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. And so it opens on Broadway July 25th. But we were able to get tickets to what's called preview,
mm-hmm.
which means that technically speaking, from a Tony point of view, they could tweak this, tweak that, make some minor changes. But our friend Renee, who's a Broadway expert,
so
right. I didn't want to.
I didn't want to point it out.
I didn't want to brag, you know. But RZ, as we call her, or Z for short, she explained to me that seeing it in previews is cool. For a big show like this, there probably wouldn't be any major changes.
Right.
So we had an amazing time. If you haven't seen the movie, highly recommend it. And tickets for Moulin Rouge on Broadway are going to be really hard to get. But if you can find a way. It's awesome.
So when you were like, why should we see it in previews? She didn't say, because you can.
I don't even know. That's twice. That's twice. I don't even know what to do with that. Because can.
You look so exhausted in that single moment. Like, what am I even doing with myself?
What choices have I made in my life
that led right to this?
That led us to this point? Or is it a Connor David? And he's saying, because we can. I need to seriously reconsider the choices that I make. Like my friend's dog, Summer. I need to go sit in a corner and think about the choices I've made.
That's right.
I have something else to add. I haven't watched it yet, but did you see the new lineup announced for Coffee and Cars with Comedians?
Oh, no.
You know that show Seinfeld. That Seinfeld does, and they announced it, and the first one's going to be Eddie Murphy.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
That could be fun.
I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So I obviously not watched that, but I'm excited to watch it. And then I also want to just put out a little plug for this movie that you don't like.
It's going to be weird because you'd think that I would like it.
You would think, but you would be wrong.
Yeah.
Star Trek, the 1979 version. What's the complete title of
that?
Star Trek, the motion picture is coming to Penn Cinema on September 15th for the 40th anniversary special.
If you haven't seen it, you should see it. But be warned, it is a product of its time. It's long, it's slow, and a product of its time.
That's what she said.
Yeah. it was a reaction, not a reaction, but like, you know, wasn't 20th Space Odyssey was already out by this point. Star Trek was out. And you can tell they wanted to like mix those things in. So they try and do these big, expansive, like, zooms. And
they're just, being artsy.
Yeah, just Star Trek II, one of the best Star Treks of all time. So they learned their lesson.
All right. What about you, David?
Okay, I'm also watching Stranger Things.
Talk to me. You're in season 3.
I'm in season 3. I've got one episode left.
Oh, boy.
I actually watched an episode right before I came here.
Are you going to watch the last episode alone? Because I heard it's pretty traumatic.
Really?
Yeah. Marley texted us in the middle of the night with a selfie of herself crying. And
really?
She said, I just finished season 3 of Stranger Things, and I am not okay.
What am I supposed to do? Is that an invitation? Do I need to wait for you to catch up?
Come on over. Yeah, wait for me. We'll watch it.
Watch the last episode together? All right. I mean, there you go. Because otherwise, it's just me and my cat.
We could put it on the big screen. How fun would that
Whoa.
Be? Yeah.
Whoa.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
All right. Luckily, there's nobody listening.
Nobody
it's
will
just
know.
Just us.
Yeah, I'm down for that, though. I also listened to a series, a podcast.
That sounds serious.
Called This Sounds Serious.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you. You know that I've been kind of talking about how I've been listening to true crime podcasts.
Right.
And the person I listened to the podcast with, they were like, hey, let's check this one out. So I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't really, like, double check it. I was just like, whatever. Yeah. Like
I got one for you. I don't want to interrupt your thought. We'll come back to me.
Okay. The premise looked interesting about a murder of a weatherman.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Yeah. And you know, usually the stuff we listen to can be kind of ridiculous. And so I was like on board with it just being overboard. And so we're talking about after we listen to the first episode, we're talking about it. And then it got pointed out to me that somehow I didn't pick up that this was a parody show. It was totally fake, and it was just making fun of all the true crime stuff, and that's why it was so ridiculous, because I was like, I can't believe all these... I'm talking, I can't believe that this happened. I can't believe it's so crazy that that it's this. And that 911 call, or 911 call was insane. Like, who's that crazy? And they were like, David, it's a parody. So it was a bit embarrassing, but
that's brilliant.
Yeah. So if you listen to true crime, you want to laugh, listen to this. Sounds serious. So the last thing,
yeah,
that I've been digging into,
yeah,
and this is gonna. I've been watching the trailer for Picard,
yeah,
over and over and over again. This is a big deal. Star Trek: The Next Generation, amazing, right?
Okay.
And now here's a sequel. And here's what's so great about it. I know this means nothing to you, but whatever. Captain Picard is back for a series called Picard.
Right.
Right? So far in the trailer, Data's back, or B4, the character B4. So Brent Spiner is back. And then cast from Voyager, we got Jeri Ryan reprising a role as 7 of 9, which is awesome, because who would have thought they would have brought other, like, series characters in? And Jonathan Frakes and Mira Sirtis, Riker and Troy, have both said that they're going to be back on the show.
Where are we watching this?
It's going to be on CBS All Access.
CBS.
And this is the thing. I've held off.
Does that mean it's not going to be on TV? Only on CBS?
It's only on CBS. Just like Discovery is only on CBS, which I've been holding out and buying the Blu-rays for.
Okay.
But this could be it. This could be. This looks so good, I might have to get a CBS All Access subscription. Or
what kind of money is that?
It's like, I think it's like $14 a month, but I'll just do like I do with Game of Thrones, and you cancel as soon as you're done watching it. You know what I mean?
Bastard.
But it looks great.
Okay, so if you want to get yourself psyched up to watch Picard, what Star Trek movies do you need to watch? Do you need to be fluent in?
The Next Generation movies.
Okay.
Because this, you need to watch First Contact.
Okay.
And then you need to watch Nemesis.
Okay.
Because you need to watch at least the first and the last one. Because in the last one, it's going to pertain to some of the stuff. You need to know about the Borg, and you need to know about how Data died.
Okay.
So.
All right, I got one for you.
Yeah.
You ready?
Hit me.
You're not ready.
Fire away.
You think you're ready, but you're not. You know nothing.
Jon Snow?
Nope. Yeah, right. All right. This one comes courtesy one of our favorite listeners.
Favorite listeners.
I don't like to play favorites.
But this is your favorite listener?
I love them all, but this is absolutely one of my top three favorite listeners.
So, okay. So it's either Amy, Marley, or Kayla.
Right, and this one happens to be Marley.
Okay.
This one comes to us courtesy of Marley.
Okay.
Who is a devoted listener, as you know.
She hounds me when the episode's not out.
As soon as I get back from recording the podcast, she starts hounding David about when is it coming out. Anyway, Marley turned us on to a podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno. It is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing you ever heard in your life. And we had a lot of driving over the last 4 days.
Right.
So we fire up.
Perfect thing to listen to with your kids.
So it's me and my wife and our two teenage daughters,
mm-hmm.
right, in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And we're singing along to all these songs. We're chit-chatting. And, you know, the car trip goes on a while and you start getting bored. And you're like, let's listen to a podcast. So we listen to a couple interesting podcasts. And then Marley says, oh, that podcast I told you about, My Dad Wrote a Porno, we got to listen to that. So we listen to it. It's wildly inappropriate. Like, embarrassingly inappropriate. But we don't care because it's so funny.
Yeah.
And then it crosses a line. I mean, it's inappropriate from the very get-go. But then about a half hour into it, we're like, Amy reached over. It's like, all right, we're turning this off. We were pulling into a gas station, thank God. So there was like a good excuse. And Amy's like, all right, we're done. But this podcast, you got to dial it up if you want to like. Oh, so here's the premise.
Yeah.
The host's dad. It's true. It's a totally true thing.
Right.
The host's dad writes a pornographic novel. Erotica literature. Right. So the host reads the novel with his two best friends, one of whom's a woman, so it's two guys and a woman reading this porno novel, and they dissect, like, each episode is a chapter, and they like make fun of like the dialogue and the typos and like anatomically incorrect, you know.
Is this guy's dad still alive? Or?
Oh, no, very much, 100%.
Is like, this a recent thing or something?
Yeah, no, he's recent. Like, so for example, they have to talk about like, why did dad feel comfortable enough to give me an early draft of the porno, but not my sister? Does he think she's not going to be aware? And then he talks for a while about how much his mom hates the porno, not because it's a porno, but because she's worried that the world is going to think the female lead is based on her. And they're all English. They're all British. So you got that whole accent.
So it's fancy.
You know, it's so funny. Okay. My dad wrote a porno.
Gonna have to check it out. So cool. All right.
You thought we were just Marvel news.
Yeah, we're so much more.
So much more. Because we can.
The look on your face.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
When I pulled that out. Oh, man. So next week's going to be a little different.
Come what may. Next week we're gonna go a little bit different.
Right.
Tell us about it.
Okay, so next week we're not going to have a movie review. And we're going to be recording a little early, so it'll be a little light on the news and stuff as well. But we're going to be covering a personal subject for me that people usually find fairly interesting. Synesthesia and the movies.
How do you spell synesthesia? Because then when we talk about the premise of the show, how we're going to construct this show, I need to be able to know how to spell it.
S-Y-N.
Right.
S-E-T-H-E-S-I-A.
So the first thing we're going to do is find out if, in fact, you know how to spell this word.
I'm pretty sure I got it. Now, specifically, synesthesia covers a gamut of versions of it. And everyone who is a synesthete, which is someone who has synesthesia, which is something you're born with, you either have it or you don't. And what it is when one or more of your senses stay connected from birth. And usually, like, when you're forming in the womb, like, those connections are all there, and then they kind of, like, pull apart.
Sure.
And so they just stay connected. So specifically, my dominant form of synesthesia is called chromesthesia, spelt like it sounds.
Yep.
Right? And that is...
Of course.
Of course.
That's right.
And that is where my audible to visual senses are crossed, which means that I perceive sound as visual color. And I'll explain a little bit of what that means, and then we'll dig in specifically as to what that means for watching a movie and why I don't deal with people talking during movies very well.
So the way we're going to set the table is I'm going to go home and do some research on synesthesia.
Yeah.
Being the student that I am...
Mm-hmm.
I will naturally come away with a profound lack of information.
Call the library, get all the books out.
I'll be a crappy student yet again. It'll be just like old times. And David will fill in the gaps.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a great vehicle, a great way to tackle this subject. And I'm really excited that you're going to share that with us. I think it's really, really interesting.
But people have a lot of questions about this. So if you listening want to know anything about synesthesia, feel free to write in podcast@pensima.com and Penn will pass the question on to me during the show. This has potential to be really interesting if people take an interest in it. Usually it's one of those things where I mention people are kind of like, oh, whatever. And then as I start to talk about it, they're like, wait a second, what? According to the doctors, my everyday, all the time perception is very similar to what people experience when they're tripping on acid. So,
and we're back to the similarities between you and Jerry Garcia.
Right. It's basically the same guy.
Basically, Captain Trips himself, David Moult.
So that's a call to action. Write us in, podcast@pensima.com. Also, hit us up on iTunes and leave us a review.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to plug that.
You want to leave us here's a challenge. Leave us a funny review. Make us laugh. Put something on there. It can be serious, but like cut the liberal BS,
right.
You know?
A 5-star review that makes me laugh will earn you an IMAX ticket.
Oh, there you go.
I'll play by the honor code.
Okay.
If I laugh or even chuckle, if I smirk Yeah, everybody knows I'm an easy laugh.
Yeah,
you know, so
not that hard. Right. So hit up iTunes or the Apple podcast app. Leave us a review, 5-star review. Make us laugh.
And if you're listening to us from Huntington Valley, brace yourselves, because we're going to announce details in the next couple weeks. We're coming. We're coming for you.
Some live Huntington Valley
coming at you.
Boom!
You startled me just then, the way you did that. I actually literally...
Whoa! All right, so once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.